We, since Jesus is our peace, we have peace. Since we know Jesus, we know peace. Turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. We've been talking about peace for the last four Sundays. And Jesus came to give peace on earth. Is that right? And in Him we have peace. And I've been trying to get you to get that in your head, because in the world we have no peace. And James puts it together pretty good here. Let's all stand, and Jacob's going to come and read to us James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18.
I'm reading from the ESV. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace.
It's amazing to think of peace on earth, goodwill to man. We have been coming from the song. It says, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, and it rings out, peace on earth. We have it. We have it. And then he says in verse 3, it says, and in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. If you know Jesus, you know peace. But if you do not know Jesus, you do not know peace. Is that right? And in James chapter 3, verse 14, I want you to look at it with me. James chapter 3, verse 14. It says, if you have selfish ambitions and you have jealousies, these are from the earthly, unspiritual, demonic, and they end up in disorder and every vile practice, and we have no peace on the earth. And at the end there, verse 18, it says, of those who make peace. Is peace on earth natural? No. A person, you know, everybody has the image of God stamped in their heart, okay? And if a person isn't threatened, if they see benefit to themselves in being kind and considerate, are most people kind and considerate when they don't feel threatened? The answer is yes. Okay? That's the image of God stamped on all of us. But when a person feels threatened or taken advantage of, or he has no benefits in something, or it doesn't bless him in some way, or if it doesn't make him happy in some way, you see them turn very quickly. Is that right? That's where if a person doesn't have Jesus, he doesn't have peace. Because our peace comes from Him. And we got to figure that out. That's what we've been talking about. And that's so important. There's no peace on this earth. If a person feels slighted in the least, or their rights are slighted, or it's unfair, or it doesn't benefit them, or they don't feel happy, or whatever, that level of peace and considerate and being nice and all of that drops immediately. That's our world. No Jesus, no peace. It's just selfishness. Are we full of that too? I don't know about you, but I am. You know. Ron Lee asked one of our grandchildren if they understood sin. I think she was two. And she said, no. And then she said, well, sin is like, see, when you lie and when you talk back to your parents and all that. And she said, have you done that? She says, I've not done it, but my brothers have. We're guilty. We need peace. Is that right? And that's what's so important. Our world needs peace. Not just any type of peace. It's real peace. It's loving people as ourselves. First level. Second level is loving people better than ourselves. That's next level. Peace. And this morning we're on peacemakers. But you have to have peace in your soul before you can give peace away. I want to run to keep your place there in James chapter 3. I'm going to hit a couple passages and go quickly here. We have no peace in ourselves. It's not from us. Peace is from God. Let me hit these here real quickly. Anyway, so all peace comes only from God, and the godless know no peace. John 16:33. In me, you may have what? Peace. In the world, you will have what? No peace. But take heart. I have overcome what? The world. Jesus. Our peace comes from Him. Period. We do not have it. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He is the rewarder of them that seek Him. Amen? They must believe in Him. I don't have peace. I need it from Him. I'm empty of it. Isaiah 9 verse 6b, it says, His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and what? Prince of Peace. He's the peace giver. It's all from Him. If we do not have Him, we have no peace. It's from Him. Secondly, it's very important that we understand that there's no peace in the world, but we got to get peace with God. We got to get peace with God. At the cross, God made peace with you. You didn't make peace with Him. He made peace with you. Remember that. It's from Him, it's with Him, and He instigated. John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace, God's peace, Jesus' peace, I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give unto you. They only know peace when things are on their own benefit and for their own happiness and for their own pleasure. Other than that, they know no peace. It's not real peace. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. To have peace with God because of salvation is just wonderful there, because that's what it's all about. In John 5:24 it says, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, whoever hears my word and believes in Him that sent me has eternal life, peace. They're not God's enemy, they're saved. And does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. I trust you have that. It's grace. It's been given to you. It's from Him. It's not of you. It's peace. He's made peace with you. And you have it through Jesus, but you got to believe and claim it. I trust every person here this morning has done that. You realize it. Without Him, I have no peace. With Him, I have peace with God. I'm not His enemy. I'm not separated from me. He's forgiven me. I'm at peace with God. It's wonderful. Trust you know that. Amen? That is important. That is important. And then finally, last week I preached on the peace of God. The peace of God in our soul. You must claim God's peace in every situation by trusting truth and grace. Huh? Philippians. Everybody turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. It is very important that we understand this. As we have this, it is wonderful in our soul that we put this into practice. In Philippians chapter 4, the peace of God. Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord. How much? And again I say, rejoice. Keep rejoicing. That's where you get the peace of God. It's not that everything is happy and everything is good and everything is helpful. We have families that are struggling physically, emotionally, Christmas time. More people are depressed during these times because it just didn't happen like you wanted it. I didn't get the present I wanted. You know, they didn't like my pie. You know, it just doesn't go. You know, somebody got sick. You know, it's there. It says, rejoice in the Lord, not in your situation. And again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, here it comes, which surpasses all human understanding, reasonableness. You can't figure it out. Doesn't make sense. This person's just been told that their family member has died, and they have peace. Huh? How do you have peace when a family member dies? Well, you don't. You miss them, yes. But if they know Jesus, they're what? They're with the Lord. And yet that just gives you peace. And it's so important that we have that. And it says that it surpasses all human reasoning and understanding. It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It will help the way you think. And it says, finally, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever thing is true, whatsoever is honorable, whatsoever thing is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, anything that can turn your life around, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. That's where it comes from. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Here it is. And the God of peace shall be what? With you. It doesn't mean that everything's good. It just means that God is good. And He's with me. Thus I claim His peace in the midst of all the pieces. And the verse has been alluded to by Pastor Kyle. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. If you don't have this written anywhere in your Bible, in the front of your Bible, you need this verse. This verse is a great verse. Most people have memorized it. You keep him in perfect peace. Is that pretty neat? Perfect. Full peace, unending, perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. What are you doing, God, in this earthly mess? Because He trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. I trust you know that verse. You need to write that verse down. Isaiah 26, 3. How can I make it through this? I trust God. I don't trust myself, don't trust the world, don't understand it, doesn't make sense, I don't like it. But if God let me have it, I'm going to trust Him. Is that it? That's it. And I can have peace in the midst of the storms of life because He's my God and He knows best and He loves me and I can trust Him. Peace is not, catch this, put this up. Peace is not the absence of trouble in your life. Peace is the presence of God strengthening you through life's troubles. Put that up last week. That is so important. It's not that everything's going good. I got a good God that knows all that's in me, and I trust Him so I can grab peace in the midst of the storm. Very, very important. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Being a peacemaker is the whole issue this morning. All these things I've done before is free. The rest of it is my sermon, okay? But you have to have the first three points to get to this point. If you do not know that all peace, any peace, is from God, and that He makes peace with you through salvation and the blood of Jesus, forgiving your sins, and you've received it and believed it, and then you can, after those two things, you can accept the peace of God in all kinds of trials and troubles and tribulations because you trust Him. He's God. Once you've settled peace in your life and you're starting to experience some peace, hope, comfort, joy, trust, then you can be a peacemaker. Until you do, you cannot be a peacemaker. You can only give what you have. And a peacemaker, being a peacemaker, read this. I've been working on this definition here. All the stuff I get, I got it from someplace else and I tweak it. This is good stuff here. It says, being a peacemaker, let me just read it with you. Being a peacemaker means we interact, catch these words, with those around us in accordance with God's truth and grace. Catch that? It's all about God. It's all about His truth. It's all about His grace. That's the only way we have peace. Our reactions to circumstances can bring peace to an otherwise chaotic situation. God's desire is that we who know Him learn to live in peace with ourselves. What? First. Very important. Then we can radiate that peace to others. And here's being a peacemaker. Bringing calmness and wisdom in tense situations, thus being lights in our world. That's a peacemaker. And peacemakers are very, very important. You know, peacemakers, you know, God is the author of peace. Jesus is the supreme peacemaker. Jesus came to establish peace. His message explained peace. His death purchased peace. And His resurrected presence empowers peace. Jesus paid an enormous price to experience peace, for us to experience peace. Jesus is our divine peacemaker. Through Him, we can be reconciled by His blood for our sins back to God. Jesus saw the gravity of our problem and He refused to sweep it under the rug or stick His head in the sand. Aren't you glad He didn't do that? He's a peacemaker. Only a radical solution would suffice. So He made peace. He made it by shedding His blood on the cross. Christ is our supreme example of bringing peace to our hearts, to our homes, to our relationships, to our church, to our nation, to our world. He's the greatest peacemaker. And if we know Him and live in accordance with Him, we can be peacemakers. Do you know the greatest need in our world is peacemakers? True peacemakers. Our world is frustrated. Our homes, there's frustration. Our churches, our nation, our state, our world, relationships, at work, everything's tense. There's no calmness, no wisdom. Intense situations. It's amazing. You know, if we have peace, we can give peace. It's wonderful. In Proverbs 16, verse 7, it says, When a man's ways please the Lord. That's a good statement. He's at peace with God. He makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Wow. Powerful verse. Proverbs 16, verse 7. Romans 14, verse 9, it says, So let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding, for helping, encouraging, comforting. We have to see what makes for peace. You know, I get peace from God. I have peace with God. He made peace with me. And then I have the peace of God. Now, how do I give it away? How do I give this peace away? It is so important that we catch this. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Everybody turn there. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. There are some verses here that I want to read to you. If you want to write these verses down and go look them up later, you can do that. Because these verses are how you make peace with people. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says, love one another with brotherly affection, friendliness. I love this phrase. Outdo one another in showing honor, integrity, and respect. Outdo. We should be a church that I try to love you and give you joy and peace more than I have. And I try to bless you and I've tried to encourage you and lift you up and speak truth to you so that you can stand on it and speak joy and peace to you so you can trust God in situations. I can sit and pray for you, is that right? That I'm concerned for you and I give you a scripture verse or text you a scripture verse or Facebook you a scripture verse. And I don't even know what I'm talking about, okay? And all those things. You know, you got to get it out. And you stand upon it to write a little card and send them and put a Bible verse on it. Amen? That's a peacemaker. And this person, we trying to outdo one another. Verse 11. Do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. That's us. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulations. Be constant in prayer. The greatest peacemaking event you can do for somebody is pray for them. The greatest. God, you're the giver of peace. And you gave me peace. You're at peace with me because of the cross. And you give me peace. I trust you. And you give me joy. And you give me understanding. And you just settle me down, my soul. And I just trust you. Because I believe in you. You give it to me. And I want to give it to others. So I'm going to pray for this person and pray for this person. We need to be a praying church. In 19 we prayed. Is that right? In 20 here we're going to love. Pastor Kyle's going to tell us that. And to pray. The greatest peacemaking event you can do for people is pray for them. And I think we do the least of it. Prayer. He says pray. Pray for them. Let's keep reading there. Verse 13, Romans 12, verse 13. Contribute to the needs of saints and seek to show, what? Hospitality. You know, they need to know you care. Acts of kindness. I have been working on myself. I want to confess that I've been a bad neighbor for a long time. I have neighbors I've lived around for 30 years, and until this year, I haven't gone up to them and done kind deeds to them. I can think about and give you reasons. Well, there may be homosexuals, they might be drunks, you know what I'm saying? They have all of these issues. I got them all. This year, I took little things. Riley and I made little things. And you would think that we were giving them $100 bills. One talked to me for a half hour. I quite didn't know what to say to him. I'm honest. For me to reach that neighbor, I got to talk to him. Huh? And I'm confessing my weaknesses to challenge you. There are people at work that you know real well. There are friends you know. There are people that you associate with sports with your children. Is that right? You know these people. Let me get to the older ones. You go to a pharmacist. You go to the doctor's office. I won't go there. Okay. But we're put on this world to do acts of kindness, huh? I can't stress that. I don't think we do enough of it. Any amens? Or old me's? I challenge you in this year, this new year, that hey, with my neighbors, I gotta, in the winter here, it's harder to do it. Is that right? I can't go over and mow their grass and all that, and it's too cold, and Ronnie won't let me out, and I gotta touch them at least once a month. It's hard. I don't have anything in common with them. I'm just their neighbor. So all I know is to take them some hot chocolate. And all I know. And pray for them is what I'm praying for. He needs a job. I'm praying for him. And I go and pray with him. Another one, they just had a baby. And they're miserable. No. You know, it's, oh, let me state this. I just had a new neighbor to move in yesterday. A new mission field. I don't even know them. I was watching them take stuff in their house, and I did not go over and help them. Because my back would be out today if I did that. I tried to send Ron Lee, but she wouldn't go. That's a joke. It's important that we be peacemakers. This acts of kindness, I don't think we stress that enough. Contribute to the needs of the saints and show and seek to show hospitality. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Give them grace and mercy and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. We do that in Grace Bible Church a lot. Is that right? We or somebody's hurting, we come alongside. We pray with, we encourage, keep it up, write them cards, do it. And it says verse 16, live in harmony with one another. That's peacemaking. Do not be haughty, abupti, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one for evil for evil. I love this little phrase right here in the ESV. But give thought to do. Give thought to do. Is that a good line? Give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Think, how can I bless this person? Think, how can I show respect to this person? Think, how can I come alongside this person and give them some peace? Huh? Help them. Give thought to it. Verse 18. If possible. I love this verse. If possible, so as it depends on you, live peaceably with all people. Is it possible to live at peace with all people? No. You have some neighbors that are just cantankerous. I have those. I grew up with them in my family. And they didn't know. You know, but it says as long as depends on us. Is that what it says? You tried, you know. They threw me out. They didn't accept what I gave them. They cursed at me, but I tried. Huh? And you keep trying. Because as much as possible, live at peace with all men. Get along. And as far as depends on you, I'm going to do the first step. I'm going to do the second step. I'm going to reach out. One phrase I caught here. The hallmark of a Christian is the ability to get along with other people. Think about that. The hallmark of a Christian is the ability, because he's got it from God, he's got it with God, and he's got it of God, okay? And then he gives it to other people. He learns to give it to other people. The hallmark of a Christian is the ability to give peace to other people. The testimony of a church is its ability to get along with other people, huh? To get along in the church. We don't kill each other and fuss and fight and fume, huh? We get along. We get along with the world too. And it says to do that, we must be bridge builders of peace. We must work at that with deeds of kindness, of giving peace. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. He did not say, blessed are the peace wishers, the peace hopers, the peace dreamers, the peace lovers, or the peace talkers. Peace must be made. Peace never happens by chance. A peacemaker is never passive. They always take the initiative, the first step. They are up and doing. Peacemakers are actively pursuing peace. Put up the next slide. It's very important that we catch this. Peacemakers, let me just read it with you. Peacemaking is not the absence of conflict, not confused with pacifism. You know, we just shut up. That's not peace. Sometimes that's what we give them, but that's no good. Not the avoidance of strife. We are not to evade conflict. Putting our head in the sand only delays the what? The inevitable. There are things that are wrong that need to be sweetly dealt with. Is that right? And sometimes it isn't too peaceful. And it says, appeasement of parties. The peace at any price mentality is far from any biblical command. Is that true? Right is right, wrong is wrong. And we can still be peaceful and gentle and accommodating of issues. The person who glosses over problems, acting as if anything is all right, if everything is all right when it is not a peacemaker. We have a lot of that in our culture. It's called tolerance. Be quiet. If something's wrong, it's wrong. Now you can say it nicely. Is it important to say, if you're correcting someone, to say it nicely? Think before you speak. If you're angry, count to 25,000 and then speak. You know, come on. We must love the sinner and we must not love what he does. Very important, very important. I know that's hard to do. It's hard to do sometimes. And but how we do it. You know, peacekeeping is messy sometimes. Peacekeeping takes time. Peacemaking is not easy. And it is tough there to catch that and to realize, God help us. God help us. So I'll turn to Colossians chapter 3. One more verse here. Colossians chapter 3. It's a great verse. I'm jumping around in it. You'll see 12, 15, 16, 18, 22. You'll see it. Colossians chapter 3, it says, put on, to be a peacekeeper, you've got to always be putting on God's stuff. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Now, don't run over those quickly, because it says you have peace from God, you have peace with God, you have the peace of God. Now act like it and give it away. Come on. Come on, come on. You're holy, you're beloved. You are chosen. And he says, once you have that, now put on compassion, a compassionate heart, kindness, humility, meekness, gentleness, and patience. Oh, preacher, I don't have much patience. If you're not a patient person and you are acting and reacting patiently in a tense situation, that's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That is wonderful. And when you're patient and it's not normal for you or personality, that's from God. My personality of being organized and administrative, when I'm administrative and organized and planned ahead, I am filled with the Spirit. Because that's not my personality. Now, I have some other personalities that are more calm and patient, but you need to understand, this is from God. Preacher, if I'm patient with anybody, it's from God. Verse 13, Colossians 3, verse 13, bearing with one another, get along. 1 Peter 4, verse 8, it says, love covers a multitude of sins. Since you've been loved by God, give them the benefit of doubt. Come on, give them a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance. Is that right? Be a peacemaker. I love that. That was 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. And if anyone, keep reading here in verse 13, Colossians 3, 13, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. That's peacemaking. Forgive. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive them. And above all, put on love. Put on compassion. You've been loved. You don't deserve it. Then give it away. Make peace with them. Well, preacher, you don't know what they did. Make peace with them. Figure it out. Love, put on love. Catch this. Which binds together everyone together in perfect harmony. Do you want me to sing you the Coca-Cola commercial? I'd like to teach the world to sing. You know that? That's probably 20 years ago. In perfect harmony. We need to be people that do that. Is it easy to fight and complain and gripe and be miserable? Yeah, it is. But to say, I'm going to get along with you. You can't make me mad. I'm going to keep getting and working hard. I have to work on this. You have to work on this. And it says that. It says in perfect harmony. Verse 15. Let the peace of God rule. Let it reign. Let it control. But you got to let it. Got to want it. God, you. It's from you and only from you. And you have. It's with me. And you gave it to me. And I have it of you in my life of peace and trust. Now I'm going to give it away to people, and I got to do it. I got to let the peace of God rule in my heart so I can give it away. It's wonderful. And then verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you what? richly. If you're not a Bible person, if you're not reading the Bible and studying the Bible and thinking of the Bible, looking at your Sunday school class, thinking through our services, do you know every one of our services? Bruce up here puts every one of our services on the web. Benjamin and Bruce put it on the web. Every one of our Sunday morning services are on the web. You can go on the web. This man here puts it on also. You can go on the web anytime and you can see Pastor Kyle and me preach. Watch Pastor Kyle better than me, but you can see us preach. It's there. If you need encouragement, you can jump on our website and we're preaching right with you. And it's video. It probably should be audio. But you can be encouraged. You can read it again and again. Amen? And tell people about that. We have people that got you. You know, most people come to church right now, look on our webpage before they come to church. Do y'all know that? They don't come to church first. They look on our webpage. And they catch what we do and how we do it and why we do it. That is so important. I don't have time to hit the verses 18 to 22, 24, but it talks about wives, submit, husbands, love, children, obey, employees, respect and obey. That's how you be peacemakers. Our homes desperately need peace. You need to have it yourself as a husband or a wife or a teenager, a child. And then we need to bring it to our home together. Is that right? And have peacemakers. Somebody's got to stop. If you're arguing with your mom and dad, you could just stop. Because your parents are always right. God told you to do one thing. What? Obey. It's heavy. Parents, you know, we're to husbands, love. Wives, respect. Is that right? Employees, be obedient. Work hard. Is that right? And it's peacemakers. Teenagers can help in a home to have peacemaking. Too many teenagers forget that the way you respond to your parents, the way you respond to your siblings, you can have war in a home all the time. Is that right? Let's all shake our heads. Or you can have some peace. Let's do it your way. You know, Mom, I don't understand it, but, you know, let's do it your way. It's a teenager. A peacemaker. Let's get along. Let's get along. The family desperately needs it today. I don't know about yours, but our families need it terribly. And Jesus, peace come from Him. We have peace with Him. We have peace of Him. So we can be peacemakers and we can have a better home and we're getting along and we forgive and we cover multitudes of sins. We overlook things. We give them the benefit of the doubt. We give them second chances. We do right. And we trust God. And it's so important that we realize, God, You're God. You're God. And it is so good. Let me finish with this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Everybody just bow your heads. Let me read this and I close. Finally, brethren, this is a great verse. 2 Corinthians 13, 11. If you want to write that down, it's a great verse. Finally, brethren, rejoice. Here is a greatest statement in the Bible on peacemaking. Aim for restoration, renewal. Aim for it. Aim for it. You don't always hit it. Aim for it. Comfort one another. You know, give them the benefit of the doubt. Help them. Give them the Bible and help them. Quote them Bible verses. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. You know, love them. You're going to be selfless. You love them better than yourself. Give self-denial. Don't get into chaos. Agree with one another. Get along. Not always your way. Live in peace, not chaos. We have a whole world. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Not better. Never get better than anything that. Every head bowed, every head closed. Where are you today? Do you have peace in your life? Do you know you're saved, number one? And you have peace with God. If you do, praise His name. If you don't, admit it today. Talk to somebody near. Don't leave without talking to one of the people near you or one of the preachers or people. Anybody would love to talk with you. There's brochures almost every table called Peace, Purpose, and Joy. If you're here and you're saved, but you just have struggles all the time and worries and frets and you're not trusting God, come on. Read these verses and trust Him and grab that peace and realize, I don't like it and I don't understand it, but my God loves me and He's good and I'm going to trust Him through this trial, this trouble, this tribulation. God help me. And you trust Him and you stand and you have peace. And then be a peacemaker. This world, the places you work, the school you go to, your friends, the home, the siblings, the parents, the teenagers at work, neighbors. Come on, get along. Aim, I love this, aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. How many this morning say, preacher, I needed this message. Would you raise your hand? Raise your hand. I needed it. Preacher, I need this message. Amen. Amen. Take it home with you. Live some peace. Get more peace in your home this week because of it. Read these texts again and again. If you're here this morning and don't know Jesus, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I go to heaven if I die this week, and I don't want to go to hell. Preacher, I'm not sure. Pray for me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. It's just you, me, and God. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Pray for me. Can I pray for you? Just raise your hand. Let me pray with you. Let me pray with you. Anybody? 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 Lord Jesus, help us to understand it's from You, it's with You, and it's of You with us. And then we can give it to a world that is all to pieces and in need of peace. Lord, make us better peacemakers because we know the Prince of Peace. We've established the peace of God and we're trying to give it to our everyday world. Bless our homes, bless our schools, our businesses, our church, our families. Lord, bless. Make them all peacemakers. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.